There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
Sean has become very famous. Where's Sean? He's become... Oh, is that Sean? Look at Sean! Look at him! Wow! You know, he's got a big ego. He loves it when I mention his name.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday, live local talk. And a lot to talk about. We continue to watch the information get hashed and rehashed and smothered, covered, dice peppered out there. Watching Pennsylvania and Michigan, Wisconsin, New York, North Carolina back in the mix now, and Georgia back in the mix now. I bring on my friend Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation, because last night, Cameron, we were talking, well, North Carolina was in the stack for Trump. Georgia was looking good, and Pennsylvania was trending towards Trump, and now things changed overnight.
Yeah, well, you got to find more votes for the person you want to win, right? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, you got to make sure your person gets more votes. I think that's the formula.
Yeah, I mean, sure. The votes actually need to be counted. The truth is, we knew this. This was going to be. I knew. I wrote the article. This is going to be a close election, and both sides have something to think about. People were telling me, "Nah, no way. This is going to be a blowout. Blowout for Trump. Blowout for Biden." To quote Maximus Decimus Meridius, are you not entertained? I mean, that's where we are, man.
Yeah, this is good. This is a text just coming in here from Doug. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase what he said, but doesn't it seem that the country's a little wacko from going to Obama to Trump and then back to Biden?
No, Doug. I agree that it may seem that way, but what the country is telling us is that character and ideas matter. And the truth is, and this is going to really be rough for the AOCs of the world and the Bernie Sanders, we're not socialists. We don't want to be what they're selling. That is the takeaway here. There's 60-70% of the country that's like, no, that's weird, and we're looking for somebody who's reasonable to lead. And that's the reason we're thrashing around, is because this is a perfect example. You've got somebody like Joe Biden. We'll call him a good guy in the sense of he gets 2-to-1 favorables in terms of likability over Trump. But he's basically the front man for an agenda America doesn't want. And so you look on the other side, hey, the economy was doing well prior to COVID. Trump had a lot of policy wins, but his personality is caustic. And so the reason this is a close election is because neither side really has the secret sauce that is what a more than a bald majority of the voters are looking for.
Okay, let's. When I've had that same discussion in the past, I say, you know, when Trump's on policy, Trump's getting things done on the economy, he's doing this great job, and then he goes and chases a tennis ball, right? He goes and off on a chase here and trolling people or whatever it is. That's what diminishes his success. But people tell me, well, you couldn't have one without the other. President Trump couldn't have the successes he does there without having the other part of the personality. You're asking to have, you know, have your cake and eat it too. You just can't have it.
Well, I have had cake and I've eaten it. I can tell you that is not right. You absolutely can have, I mean, to tell me that you can have the policy wins, but you can't have personal character is insane. Like, I've seen people like that. I know that people exist who are good leaders who fight hard in their politics, who aren't some kind of squishy middle of the road person, who say, I'm going to do this with character. And so it is absolutely possible. Republicans have to just find it, because guess what? Either Trump's gone now or he's gone in 4 years. You're still going to have to contend for a Texas and a Georgia 4 years from now. Let's come up with a plan.
What about, I mean, you talk about Joe Biden being the good guy, right? Air quotes here. But, I mean, is it just because he's, if half the things that have been alleged, right, which I, by the way, after Election Day, I don't forget about those things. If you allege them, then they need to continue to, you know, prosecute this, look at, investigate into this. But is it just that Trump's open about his feelings and he's less measured, less concealed than others in Washington?
No. Because I think it's the way he conducts himself. Because he'll just say things that are demonstrably false. Just, you know, just throw it out there, see what sticks. And, you know, folks will defend that. But that's not a good practice. It just isn't. It's not even necessary. Like you said, chasing after the tennis ball, the biggest detractor of Trump's success is Donald Trump. It's not Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden is selling salted cauliflower. He's like, come buy my creepy ideas that AOC and Bernie have put together that really aren't traditional American policies. That they are very much, here's more government cheese. People don't want that. And yet, hey, this is a close election. I'm a firm believer that Trump, if he would just stop tweeting, if he would just take a step back and let the policies and things he's done speak for themselves, man, this would have been a lot easier for him to win.
He's, yeah, you look at some of the exit polling for what that's worth, too, and the number of people, and I'm, it's off the top of my head, but that went to vote, the people that went to vote for President Trump was like in the 70-something percent, and the people that went to vote against Biden was the remainder, and then flip it around, it was like 51% went to vote, I think actually maybe 53% went to vote against President Trump, and the remainder went to vote for Biden. You see what I'm saying? A big, I mean, Biden is there because of Trump, so which it defends kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think here's the problem is in an Alabama, in a Tennessee, in a red state in the South, it's really easy to say, hey, I just want more of what I want, and then everyone should love it. But the character of, you know, Southern states is very different than the rest of the country. And so, you know, the column I'm working for this Sunday is, we got to dust off Reagan's big tent. This is, we've got to figure out a way to continue to push back on these destructive policies that the Democrats keep wanting to throw out there and say, hey, we've got something for you, voter who didn't like Trump. We've got something for you, voter who's, you know, disaffected with Democrats but doesn't really see a vision from Republicans. That's what we've got to get to get those big numbers that, hey, can secure the ideas of liberty for a whole nother generation.
Hey, just joining us, talking to Cameron Smith with AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Let's talk about this idea that it's coming up some now, not maybe with the amount that it came up in 2016, but this lament of the Electoral College versus the popular vote. People, look at the popular vote. Look at the popular vote. This drumbeat to get rid of the Electoral College, like it's some kind of, part of a bygone age. I sit and scratch my head. Maybe I see things differently than those people, but the Electoral College is absolutely, in my opinion, critical to our republic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to look for the margin of the popular vote, look no further than California. California is the most populous state, and it has so many people that just the vote margin that Biden got in California is enough to account for more than the entire popular vote gap that's currently there.
Okay, so wait. Say that again. Listen to this. Say that again.
So the difference in votes, there are millions more votes cast for Joe Biden than Donald Trump in California. So if you take that margin and then look at the popular vote margin nationwide right now is smaller than the margin in California.
Wow.
So, I mean, that right there tells you something. It says, hey, you want California to pick the president, go popular vote. But the right answer here, truthfully, is for states to award their electoral votes according to how the vote breaks out in the state. I mean, because right now, for example, a Republican in California really has no say-so. There's no point, really, for a Republican presidential candidate to go campaign in California because none of those electoral votes are going to go Republican. Likewise, in Alabama, there's no real point for a Democrat to come to Alabama because it's going to be a blowout for the Republican. But if all states said, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stick with the Electoral College, but we're going to decide to put up our votes proportionately, then every state is in play for every presidential candidate, which is good because it means presidential candidates pay attention to those states. Right now, they're paying attention to some swing states, and that's about it.
This question, a good one here from Dan. If the election results, because there's a lot of people talking about election results are going to go the whole way to the Supreme Court, it's good that Justice Barrett is there, but this is good. In what vehicle, what exactly are they going to challenge in this?
Well, what they basically would have to challenge is that votes were illegally cast, that under the state laws that are governing how the elections are run, because this is state law, there were votes that were cast that were not, that should not have been legally counted. That's basically the only thing that you can do, because if votes are legally counted, this is a pure counting exercise, and unless you can say, hey, you don't know how to count, which, judging by where we are, that may be a legal claim.
But how's that a constitutional question? I mean, if it's illegal, then there's a method for that. Right now it's been dealt with, right?
Yeah, in terms of recounts and things like that, you'd have to exhaust those first. But, for example, that's the type of thing that we're challenging, or that may be challenged, is, let's say, for example, in Michigan, it becomes really, really close. It triggers a recount, or they have a recount. You're going to have the Trump campaign, the Biden campaign coming in, looking at each individual ballot and saying, hey, was the ballot cast only once? For example, did somebody mail in a ballot and then show up in person? And, you know, that kind of thing down across potentially a huge number of votes, those challenges can be protracted and last a long time.
Okay, last a long time. Let's talk about this. I mean, what's the nightmare scenario now, 75 days of this? What do you see if you're scoring it as Cameron Smith? We have, is it this week? Is it tomorrow? Is it in 76 days? When is this figured out?
Well, I think probably by Friday, my hope is that you're going to see the returns in. They'll be unofficial. They won't be canvassed numbers, meaning that they haven't been officially certified. They haven't checked everything and double-checked it. But that'll give you a picture of where we are. And if, for example, let's just say the numbers show, you know, Biden margins in Wisconsin, Michigan, let's say, you know, potentially Georgia, well, then the question is, how big are those margins? And does the Trump campaign feel like, hey, if we get a recount, we've got a reasonable chance that they just didn't do this right?
Right.
And that we can change it. But you're looking for razor thin margins to really challenge.
Okay. You mentioned Georgia. Let's talk Georgia. We talked about Georgia last night. Takeaways, is this a one off or is this a change of Georgia now, you know, going from a reliably red state to purple with some, you know, dark shades of blue? What do you think? What are we really seeing?
Well, Ohio was called before Georgia and Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, like, think about that. I didn't think in any world that was going to happen. And I mean, I don't want to scream on live radio, but I mean, I don't know what I need to do to get people's attention to say, guys, Republicans have to have a plan. The trend line is going very poorly in Texas and Georgia. Democrats are typically pretty good at playing the long game, and they're looking at this and saying, hey, even if we don't win it this time, I think we got a really good chance next time. And so Republicans need to be looking at those states and saying, if we don't come up with a different formula here, if we don't come up with a different plan, the trend is going such that we'll be in big trouble in the Senate and in the White House, because Beto O'Rourke was uncomfortably close to Ted Cruz.
Right.
And so it is not an anomaly. I mean, this is where Texas and Georgia and states like that actually are. And so to say, oh, we won this time, so we're good, is a huge problem.
Yeah, but the idea of chasing the Democrats like that, just saying, hey, we're a more reasonable version of the Democrat plan, how long does that last?
Well, I'm not suggesting that we say we're more reasonable Democrats. I'm not saying that you have to, like, squish out. I'm just saying you got to have a plan for voters who are currently not with you to say, you know what, I like those guys better. And that may be a better articulation of how conservative principles connect with your daily life. I mean, it can be a lot of things, but we've got to go to the drawing board and say, hey, here's the plan. Here's how we get that big tent, bring in a lot of folks who right now aren't giving us a shot, because otherwise we're going to be in trouble. And I don't see a sense of urgency right now, because Democrats, they're playing in Republican playgrounds. We're not really playing in too many Democrat playgrounds right now.
Interesting. And is there, how do you get that foothold? You know, you've got the, I don't know, you get this, all the stories about the, you know, like Texas, when we're talking about the Californication, right? If it goes blue, it's because all the Californians have moved in there. Or Montana, when I've watched this from, gosh, a couple of decades ago, hearing a guy out there in southwest Montana said, man, we're changing before our eyes, this state, all these people from California coming in. What's the inverse of this? So that's playing in Republican playgrounds. What's the inverse of that? Where is there a Democrat playground that conservatism can take root?
Well, I mean, I look at Michigan and I look at that Senate race right now, and it's not over. And so I'm seeing, right. Oh, well, hey, if Trump loses, like, you still had a Senate candidate that's viable that does not fit. I mean, a minority candidate who is awesome, who is a rock star. That's what our future looks like. You got to say, hey, we've got younger, different, engaging people who are passionate about serving America and making life better. And if you bring those kind of candidates to the table, we can win anywhere. We can compete anywhere. I think you can compete in Virginia. We can go in different areas, because politics goes in waves. It's ebbs and flows. And by the time people take a vote for granted is when you can go eat their lunch. That's what happened. That's what's happening in Texas. Republicans have taken it for granted. They're like, oh, this is our bedrock. We don't need to worry about it. I say, well, guess what? If people are moving out of California, if the liberal is leaking out of California, then go to Orange County and say, hey, folks, how do we increase our numbers? How do we bring more people into the fold? And I think you make them defend their home versus being able to come mm-hmm. out to a Texas, come out to a Georgia, and try to shift the balance.
This is interesting from Bill, and this will... I'm just going to read you the question and get your reaction here. It said, Republicans need to make a big effort to articulate that they are a party of inclusion, such as libertarians. Continuing to fight the social issues is a losing battle.
Yeah. I mean, I hear exactly
what
he's saying.
I'm going to disagree with both of y'all.
I hear exactly what he's saying. And the truth is, I think that we miss a little bit when we talk about social issues. What we really mean by that is LGBT stuff and abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more important thing is how we talk about those issues. I think, and this is why I'm with the Triptych Foundation, is I still believe that we have to have a shared moral fiber for America to work, right? So you can call that a social issue if you want. The bigger issue, we don't need to be jerks. We need to be inviting people who say, I care about what happens to you, and frankly, I don't care about the baggage you carry, because guess what? So do I. It's called empathy. And we have not been great at that as Republicans, and until we are, Democrats, I mean, they win on the emotional front all the time, because they're like, hey, I'll do something for you. And what they mean is, I'll give you some government cheese. And we need to say, hey, I'll be there for you, but I'm not going to give you government cheese. I'm going to walk with you and help you find opportunity, and we need to be genuine about that.
There we go. Cameron, remind folks, too, they can check you out online and get in some of that discussion from yesterday and going forward.
Yeah, check me out at aol.com/opinion, at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter. You can Google me on Facebook. I'm the good-looking one, so, you know, should be fun.
Duly noted. Cameron Smith, as always, man, I appreciate our time together.
Thanks, John.
All right, coming right back. Get your calls rolling at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 128 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Johnny says Cameron Smith has it wrong. It's teaching people to take care of themselves and extreme liberty if the path and the way. To heck with feelings, there has to be a culture shift, not a marketing pitch. Okay, right. So, Johnny. So, Johnny and I know each other. He knows my strong liberty bent, that libertarian bent, and I'm with you, but I'm also pragmatic. I have had that strong bent for many a decade, but it has been measured with pragmatism, Johnny. And I haven't seen, tell me where you've seen or heard the hue and cry for liberty versus stuff. That's why populism is where I like in spirit, Johnny, I'm 100% with you. But selling liberty, it seems like in our republic, you go broke anymore. Or at least not win elections. All right, we'll pick this up when we get back. News is next. All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to what North Carolina officials are saying addressing their vote count. Karen Brinson Bell speaking there in North Carolina. I'll just give you this. I give you the zinger so far. She said, last night, officials in North Carolina stopped counting ballots because they had all been counted. Zing it, Pennsylvania. You know, a zing at Georgia. We finished counting ballots because they had all been counted. I asked that question last night, and I ask it again today. Now, you in Georgia, you did have a situation where you had the water line burst and all that, but in like the Philly area, you knew you were going to be working late. I mean, we all know this in the regular world. You're going to be working late on it. You just make extra pot of coffee. You order pizza. You do whatever. You just work. How you say, well, we're going to not. It's 8:30. All right, see you tomorrow, Fred. It's election night. Good for the commentary on North Carolina. All right, this segment of the show brought to you by my friends at Harry's. Been shaving with Harry's for years now, and there's even more reason for you to jump on board. They have now come out with their sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other razor companies that make a little improvement, something with the razor that you don't even use, and then they charge you more, not Harry's. Even with the new sharper blades, they're still just as low as $2 each. You can get Harry's new sharper blades in the big box and drug and grocery stores near you. If you like to shop online, support this show, you can also get the trial set. See what this is all about. What's all the fuss about, Sean? Well, you can get the trial set for just $3 when you use my code SeanS at checkout over at harrys.com. By the way, these new blades are so sharp that in the study with guys that shave 4 times a week, the guys reported that with Harry's new blades, their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. So why don't you check them out? I mean, there's no reason not to. Here, you can get Harry's sharpest blades ever. Big box, drug, grocery stores near you. Head on over to the grooming aisle. But if you like to shop online, support this very radio show. Harry's has a great offer for y'all as well. New customers, y'all will get a Harry's trial set for $3. That's it. $1, $2, $3 when you use code SeanS. And that is SEANS. So they've added the S there for my last name, I guess. SeanS at harrys.com. That includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for $3, plus you get free shipping. So don't forget to use my code SeanS, SEANS at checkout, and give Harry's sharper blades a try. All right. And Dalton was telling me that, so the Biden presser has been moved off to, what, 2:30? Or is that President Trump's? I know it's like they shifted everything. Yeah, Dalton's coming in with a laptop, so you know this is serious now. When he comes in with that laptop, the super light Dell laptop, yes.
Okay, so Biden campaign initially said he would be speaking at 12:45 in Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah.
That obviously didn't happen.
That didn't happen so much.
So now they've said around 1:30 Central Time, which doesn't doesn't look like it's happening right now.
No.
And President Trump expected to speak at around 2:30 Central Time. And a few things have happened over the last 40 minutes as you were talking with Cameron Smith. First, CNN and the Associated Press and multiple other outlets have officially called Wisconsin for Joe Biden.
Okay, so that was one that was part of a Trump path.
However, right now, everything I've seen has that within one percentage point, which would make it eligible for a recount, which the Trump campaign has already discussed this morning, possibly having a recount in Wisconsin. And the other bit of big news, a couple things. Arizona, which was called very early on last night by the Trump campaign, by Fox News.
Yeah.
Arizona was called by Fox News to Biden.
Yes.
The Trump campaign immediately began disputing that last night.
And seems Fox like they're News, putting a lot of resources into that one.
They are. And Fox News called it very early and was one of the only, if not the only, news media organization to call Arizona for either candidate early on. Today, even up until the last few minutes, the Trump campaign is insistent that they are going to win Arizona, even though it's been called for a long time. Even Kevin McCarthy, who I don't think he's on the campaign staff. I think he just works in D.C., but he...
High-ranking Republican,
but he's not getting paid by the campaign.
Right.
He's insistent that it looks like Trump could win Arizona. So according to them, and I know both campaigns will put out their messaging.
Sure.
But they seem insistent that Arizona is still in the cards for them. And then with some of these other states that still waiting on the vote counts to come through, the Trump campaign has filed a lawsuit in Michigan seeking to halt the counting of ballots. The campaign said they, quote, have not been provided with meaningful access to numerous counting locations to observe the opening of ballots and the counting process. So they're saying that in a lot of
Well, you're
cases.
Supposed to have somebody from the party, each party, there while the votes are being counted.
Right. And Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien said the suit seeks to review the ballots that had already been opened and counted. So in Michigan, the Secretary of State said earlier there were about 100,000 ballots remaining to be counted statewide, and the Trump campaign saying that they had already counted a number of ballots and weren't allowing the campaign to have access to the counting of those ballots.
I mean, that's the cut. They're going to let them in, but not let them in to see they already counted ballots. Didn't they have somebody from the Republican Party there when they counted them in the first place?
According to the Trump campaign, they said they weren't given that kind of access.
I thought that was policy.
I thought so too. And that's not a whole lot coming out on that, other than that's the reason that they are suing right now to halt the counting of votes in Michigan.
You know who's won right now? Our campaign attorneys.
Oh, yeah. And what they said, each campaign has thousands of lawyers.
Think about that, y'all. Think about they're on retainer. You're going to pay by hour. I mean, that's what I'm not trying to disincentivize people giving to campaigns, but there's a lot of people's campaign donations are going to pay for.
And part of it is they need lawyers in every single state because every single state's laws are different, and they want people who on both sides know the law well and how to navigate the law in each individual state. So you have to figure that
what happens in places where, like, we're already talking about the backlog in Alabama, right, of cases. Mm-hmm. What about the places that have their court system shut down because of COVID?
That's interesting.
If judges aren't hearing cases, right?
Right.
Because of COVID. I mean, Alabama, we're at Mobile at a reduced level, but there are some states where they was shut down.
Yeah, especially some of the more liberal states.
Do you do there if they're not hearing how do you move in line? And I mean, I guess you get a fast pass if it's, you know, the future of the republic who leads the country is on there, but if they're not holding court.
Great question. I don't know. I guess, you know, I think with the fate of the nation in its hands, because the longer
they
this drags
arbitrator.
Out...
Get some arbitrators.
Yeah. The longer this drags out, I can't make up my mind. You know, everyone was saying before this that either way there would be rioting and civil unrest in the streets. I don't know if people aren't, you know, just worn out from the whole thing.
Fatigue,
right now.
Yeah.
And how long will it take if we don't have a clear winter in the next week, 2 weeks? What will
America
look like?
I don't think you get protesting while there's not a clear winter, because the protests come from. Mm-hmm. One side's unhappy with the outcome. Right now, the outcome is not certain. I mean, you can say where it's trending. It looks like right now It looks like it's trending towards Biden, but Lord knows we've known it in 2020. Just wait, you know, wait an hour and see what the new news is. So maybe at least tamping down that will be the uncertainty going forward. I mean, if you're ready to go show your anger over a decision, if there's no decision made, maybe you're sitting at home.
Well, it did seem last night, and I didn't get to watch, you know, all the protests as we were on the air last night, but it seemed like the closest there came to...
Saw that in Washington.
It was right there near the White House in D.C., and I know they made a couple of arrests. The unscalable wall was out there, but there were protests across the nation, and I wonder... you remember, things were looking really good for Trump about an hour and a half into our broadcast last night. And that's when I started to see some reports that things were getting a little iffy out there in Washington, D.C., and people getting a little restless in some other areas where they were out, I guess, protesting or just standing around waiting for the results. But nothing really came of that last night other than a couple arrests in D.C.
I had a question. If they're going to scale the unscalable wall, if it turns into like a Antifa version of American Ninja Warrior or something like that, what are they going to do when they get in there? What's the plan? Because you know what Secret Service's job is to do?
Pick them off.
To protect the president.
Oh, yeah. Protect the president.
So what, I mean, what exactly is the plan? I would like to, you know, okay, if, hey, Scott, dude, if you get across the unscalable wall here, What you going to do then?
I don't know. Great question. I mean, we've seen people try before, even without the unscalable wall. We've seen people try to get in. And
you have people, yes, and onesie, twosie, people that have quite often mental issues.
Yeah.
But if you're the protesters there and you're going to go, you're going to rush the White House.
Mm-hmm. Who are they going
what
for?
What are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, I'm just, it's a fair question. What you going to do?
Yeah, where do you head first? What's your plan?
Do you think in this situation where they're paying attention and don't have the front door unlocked, like when that deranged person got in when Obama was president?
Oh, yeah.
Just went in through the unlocked door.
Wide open.
Right now, they double check the deadbolt. So what are you going to do?
I would hope so. They have their Ring security system turned on.
All right, coming right back. More. Yes, look at the Ring doorbell. Look, it's Antifa. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So, like Dalton said a second ago, it's been called for Biden in Wisconsin, one of those states that was part of the battleground there. But Wisconsin called for Joe Biden at this point. Arizona still seems to be in play. Of course, Pennsylvania, Georgia, even North Carolina. Although I like the must have been the Secretary of State that I was watching from North Carolina who said, "Well, we quit counting ballots last night in North Carolina." Because we were done counting. It was a beautiful, obviously a jab at the states where, can you imagine that? I mean, I'm sure there's all kind of good reasons. In Georgia, they had a water main bust and some things like that. But like in Philly, can you imagine on election night? I think it was 8:30 their time. They said, well, all right, see you in the morning. I said, it's just lost on me. Like, it's election night. Y'all are election workers. This is like what you do, right? I mean, in the private sector, people working on things, you have to work and get things done. This is not, that's 8:30. That's time to, we'll see you here tomorrow on that. Go back to something we're talking about a second ago, and then I'll leave it this, because a few things I want to talk about before we wrap up today. That Johnny had come back and said, we need a new Ron Paul, a movement that can gain 15% vote to move right or the Liberty Movement, or move to the Liberty Movement. Move the party, not the fickle electorate. Johnny, I understand you, but I don't, pragmatically, I don't see it out there. I don't see a youth movement of people that are saying, I wish there was more liberty. If there was only more, I would love it. It would make me so happy, but I don't see that. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places. I would hope you'd be right, but So, like Cameron Smith was talking about, I mean, maybe pragmatically, you got to figure out how you make inroads. You can sit on your duff and say, well, this is right and that is wrong. Okay. And I get that. There's part of me wants to, but I've been doing this too long, man, that there's a pragmatic part of this. It's like when people say, I want to, what, term limit our member of the House of Representatives or the Senate. Not until every state. Like, people say, well, that's because you don't like term. No, uh-uh. But I do see some advantage in not term limiting. I like people there that get experience and get good at the job. But also in the cauldron or the swamp or whatever you want to call Washington, when the other states are going to have people there for a long time, I want people there for a long time. My lament has been and continues to be, this is not the politics of any individual person gets elected, but we went from having, just a couple of years ago, the most senior senatorial delegation in Washington, where we could be, in a few more years, the most junior. And that makes a difference, especially if we end up losing a congressional district. Listen, I love the idealistic movement of draining the swamp and getting things back for the American people. I love it. But I haven't seen anything that makes me think it's going to happen. Now, can you have battles that you win and victories? Sure you can. But unless something that I have not foreseen happens, which could be a lot of things, the war is a long war. And this is a figurative, not literal, war to change things around. All right, before we wrap up today, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way in a few. Got some great stuff coming for you over the next little bit. So I'm gonna be leaving. Taking my departure here from FM Talk 106.5, quite possibly moving to another country. So while I do that, while I leave here in these tumultuous times, got you're in good hands. That be listening to Jeff Poor tomorrow and Jeff Poor on Friday, along with Dalton and Jeff Poor coming up. Dalton and Dan next week hosting a Midday Mobile. Cam Barston hosting some Midday Mobile and a special coming up a week from today, which is Veterans Day. And, you know, usually we have our broadcast from down where they start the Veterans Day Parade and come back, and we do all that. Well, that's all changed this year with not having the parade and COVID and all that. They're having events at Battleship Memorial Park, so the morning show will be out there. And then we have a special two-hour Scuttlebutt Radio Network on Memorial Day on Wednesday, the 11th. Memorial Day, I'm sorry, I've done this to myself. Veterans Day coming up on Wednesday. We have a two-hour Scuttlebutt special live from Battleship. So you get the morning show on Veterans Day, and you have the Scuttlebutt two-hour on Veterans Day, both coming from Battleship Memorial Park. And that's all coming up next week. Plus, like I said, Cam Marston and Jeff and everybody else doing this. I will be checking back in with y'all the following week. So be out of here for a little bit, but I will maybe, unless they give me my citizenship in this new country I may be moving to. If they do that, then I may stay and just have to phone the show in. But other than that, I will be back. All right, and a couple odds and ends, too. If you get a chance, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Go check out all the the pictures that were put up on our page yesterday from folks voting. Whatever you say about the results as they come in, what did happen yesterday in our republic is people turned out to be engaged in government. Very high voter turnout here locally, here in the state, and around the nation. But y'all put up some great pictures because you had a lot of time in line yesterday to take pictures as you're waiting to go vote. Those pictures and commentary up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Also, remember, you can check us out on Twitter at FMTalk1065. And go to the website, too. Podcasts, we haven't talked about. We've been doing all this stuff lately and forgot to mention that these shows and, well, 54 hours a week of live local programming of what we do here at FM Talk 106.5 is waiting for you. Go to FMTalk1065.com. You can click the podcast tab and get the shows there a la carte. Or better yet, you can subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Spotify or any of those platforms and get our podcast there as well. So make sure to subscribe, get the podcast, enjoy more of this great local radio that we produce every day and every day of the week. All right, I am out of here. I will see y'all, well, in some period of time. Once again, unless they give me citizenship, and then I probably won't be back. But if not, we'll be good. All right, y'all be good. Paul Feinbaum all the way next.